I come, and Lord, you are wonderful. I understand my shortcomings. I understand my sin. And Lord, I'm sorry. And I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me. Lord, I pray that I might be obedient to you as you have given to me. May I give to others. And Lord, I pray that this word might have free course this morning. Lord, it's your word. Help me not preach about your word, but Lord, help me preach your word this morning. And Father, I'm asking for power. I cannot do it. I cannot do it dirty. I ask you to cleanse me. And then, Lord, I cannot do it in my own merit, in my own power. I have none. Lord, touch me fresh. Speak to our hearts. May our ears be opened, I pray. And we're going to thank you for it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's see if we can get going here. You serve what you love, and you love what you serve, and there is no love without service. That in itself is a message. That in itself is a good outline. You serve what you love. You love what you serve, and there is no love without service. Now, you need to understand that when we're talking about there's no love without service. If you're not willing to do something, then you really don't love it, you know. If you don't feel obligated, I kind of feel obligated to the Lord. He saved me from hell. I kind of feel like I owe him something. Yes. I mean, you may not. I just kind of feel like I owe him a little bit. He gives me everything I have, lets me use everything. He gives me plenty of everything. I just kind of feel like I owe him a little bit. You know, just maybe a little bit. Do y'all agree with that? I don't know. I mean, he give me breath. I don't have none, so he allows me to breathe his air.
Yeah.
You know, and, my heart don't beat unless he makes it beat.
Yeah.
Right? The groceries I eat, I don't have unless he supplies them. People say, well, I work for him. Well, then he gives me the strength to work, and then he gives me the opportunity to have the job to do it. So he just done so much, I think I might owe him just a little bit. You know what I mean? So, but if I don't love him, I can owe him a lot. But if I don't love him, I ain't going to do nothing for him. You know, there's a whole lot of difference in owing somebody. You know, I owe the power company, but I don't really care for the way they charge. You know what I mean? So I can owe somebody and not love it. But I owe the Lord, and I feel like I need to love him because he first loved me. Huh? We can go on. That just show you love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. That little phrase there has been wearing me out. That love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. And so often we think more about ourselves, and that unselfish concern is what we need to dwell on, that unselfish concern this morning. And then we look at this. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. I don't know about y'all, but that's really laid heavy on me because of me not seeking. I may want the best for you. I don't know of anybody here that I don't want the best for you. I want you to excel. I want the kids to excel. I want you to have all, but I don't seek to make it happen, or I don't seek to aid it. I don't seek to help it. Huh? I want it, but I don't do nothing about it. And I'm wondering if that's really love. Because it said love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. And these things just been laying heavy on me. I don't know about you. We looked at God's love for a sinner. God's love for his children. God's love, or our love for God, 1 and 2. Loving our enemies. Loving the brethren. 1, 2, 3, and 4. We were glad that's over. And then last Sunday night we looked at bad love. And there is a bad love. But now we're going to look at something else. We mentioned a little bit about our spouses and our children last week. And this morning we're going to look at husbands loving their wives. All right. And just to show you what's coming, we're going to look next at wives loving their husbands. All right. and loving our children, and children loving parents, and loving the home. That's all in the future, and there's more. There's a couple more after that, but that's how much is coming. So you can be excited about it.
Amen.
All right. Now, if there's ever any support that I should gain today, it's with the ladies. Because I'm going to preach on husbands loving your wife. All right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Ladies, you're allowed to say amen. When it says talking about keeping solid in the church, that ain't, it don't mean you can't say amen.
That's right.
All right? Now I'm going to go ahead and confess openly to you. I confess to my wife today, but I confess to you that I don't love her like I should. Don't love her like I should. I thought, you know, I desire to repent, but only time's going to tell if I do. Because I'll have to change. If I really repent, that means I'm going to change. And if I don't change, then there wasn't no repentance. Because I still believe repentance shows change of heart and mind. Change of direction. A lot of change. Huh? We okay with that? Ephesians 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, you ought to love your wives. It don't say that. Husbands should love their wives. No, it don't say that. It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, the verses up above that talks about submitting one to another. And then if you go on up above, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. Maybe all that's got to come together before we can really love like Christ loved the church. We're going to have to walk with God enough we might be full of this Holy Ghost of God. But what I want you to understand, we are, husbands, we are to love our wives. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. Verse 28 goes on down and says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's just the way it is, all right? He goes on and says this, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. All right? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I want all the men to look at me this morning. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And it don't mean nothing other than just what it said. It said to do it. And love is not merited. Because it's like Christ loved the church, and the church never done nothing for Christ to love it. And the wife don't have to do something for you to love her. You just gotta love her. You just gotta love her. Alright? We see there's two examples of love, and we are to have for our wife, and that's love her like Christ loves the church, then love her like we love ourselves. Now, I think maybe the first one's easier than the second one. Loving Christ like, loving my wife like Christ loves the church might be easier than loving her like I love me, because I love me more than anybody. And there's not a man here that don't. There's not a man here that don't. See, we got a whole concept. We could preach for weeks on this, because we have the wrong concept of husband and wife anyhow. And a lot of it's tradition. A lot of it's been handed down. A lot of us are husbands like our dads were husbands. Or our grandfathers were husbands. We're that same kind of husband. A lot of us, we're just right pitiful when it comes to being a husband. Okay? And ladies, if we loved you like you're supposed to be loved, you would be so much better. Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Gonna be tight today. Husbands or husbands to be. Huh? Let's look first at the object of our love. The object of our love. And our the object of our love is who? Husbands? The wife. So in that they're wonderful. Can I get amen from the wives?
Amen.
Y'all are wonderful.
Amen.
Huh? Y'all, can I get another amen from the wives? Y'all are wonderful.
Amen.
Huh? Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Y'all believe that? I believe that. I believe you're wonderful. I believe you're wonderful. And I'm not going to say anything negative about that at all. It's going to be positive for you ladies all the way through. Okay? So ladies, y'all going to have to amen because the men ain't going to amen today. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. The men ain't going to amen. They're not going to do it. Huh? Huh? Now, Brother Clark asked me, would it be fitting to say on me if I can't say amen? Yeah, it would be honest to say on me. If you can't say amen. Okay? Alright? Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." It's not good. I don't know about you today. Well, I probably do know about you. I can't do without my wife. I can't do without her. I need her for a lot of things. And it's not good that I be alone. Probably because, well, I can go a long way. We just better stick with the scripture here. "And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. So I will make him a helpmeet for him." So now when you read that verse, if you read the next verses, then the Lord started doing something. He started making animals. And he brought the animals to Adam. And when he brought the animals to Adam and Adam named them all, they was all good and it was all wonderful. You know, Adam is not a dummy. You understand that? I mean, who would think up the name of rhinoceros? You know, who would think up that name? And here come an animal and he said, "That's a rhinoceros." Okay. Here come a monkey. Well, there's a chimpanzee. Well, where did he get his vocabulary? Huh? Think about that. He's no dummy. Have y'all ever thought about that? I mean, think about that. Here comes that looks like a giraffe to me. Huh? I could probably see a bear. Lion. Something like that. But not them big word things, you know. No, a hippopotamus. Here comes, well, it looks like a hippopotamus to me. Now, you say it didn't happen. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what it calls. The Bible says that Adam named every creature. You know, here come a bug. Well, there's a dragonfly. And there's an ant. And, I mean, he named everything. Right? But you know, none of it satisfied him. Because there was a boy rhinoceros and a girl rhinoceros and a boy giraffe and a girl giraffe and all the, they all just went about their life like everything, and Adam didn't have nobody. He named them all, and they all come, and he could pet the dogs and pet the cats, and when he threw a cat out, it was throwing the line out. He didn't throw a house cat out. Think about that. Huh? But there wasn't nobody for him. There wasn't nobody for him. It says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him." "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and clothed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And I always think of what Brother Rick said when he taught Genesis the first time here. He said, and Adam called her name woman because he said, whoa, man, looky here. Huh? That's what he called. And I think that's pretty well fitting. You know why? Because the woman's wonderful. The wife's wonderful. Huh? The first wife, and I just want to throw this in here. The first wife, a woman, a female. The first wife, a woman, a female. Only a man can be a husband, and only a female can be a wife. Anything else is just stupid. Okay? Anything else is just stupid. All right? Ungodly and stupid. All right? Now, look here, how the husband's love excites the wife. All right? She is enjoying the love of her husband. We're going to look at something here. Now, if I love my wife, then she ought to enjoy it. Now, let me go ahead and stop here. Many of the men have said that they endured their marriage. If you say that, you ought to repent. You say, well, I don't enjoy my marriage. Well, you ought to repent. Okay? If you have trouble loving your wife, you ought to repent. Okay? Well, that's just the way it is. And she ought to know that you love her because she ought to be enjoying your love. She ought to be enjoying your love. She ought to be enjoying you. If your wife is not enjoying the husband has got problems. It's not the wife. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. We'll look. This is what the wife says. This is what the wife said. Said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, Phlegons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Now, that don't mean I'm sick and tired of love. It's that I am love sick, is what that meant. I am love sick over my husband because of who he is and how he is toward me. She's infatuated with her husband because her husband loves her. Huh? Is your wife infatuated with you, or is she trying to figure out how to slit your throat when you go to bed tonight? His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Now this is the wife in the Song of Solomon chapter 2. This is the wife excited because of how her husband is loving her. Huh? Look at how the wife is described. All right? The husband is so in love that he tries to give her the greatest praise in comparison, all right? Now listen to how the husband is showing some things here. Song of Solomon chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Ain't that sweet? Doesn't that sound good? Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Huh? Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. That means she got a pretty smile. Her teeth all match. Yeah, it's not just two of them. It's a whole row of them. All right? Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing. whereof every one bears twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, built for an armory, whereon they hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. That's how he's looking at her. Huh? Do you look at your wife like that? Or do we call her the old battle axe or the old barn that needs paint? Or do we slur and say things about them negative that don't do nothing but cut their heart and hurt their feelings? And then we'll praise Jesus. Pray and try to win somebody to Christ. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. There is no spot. They ain't a blemish in her. Huh? The husband looks like they ain't a blemish in her. Huh? She's mine. They ain't a blemish in her. She's fair. Oh, my dove. Fair as the morning. Fair. You're beautiful. That's the way we ought to speak to our wife every day. Yeah. Wow. Only if you love her. Of course, if you don't love her, I reckon you can go out and step the dog. But... See, we talk about it. Say, nobody does that. I know. That's why I do a lot of counseling for homes. And bad as I hate to say it, and I'm not throwing this at nobody, but that's why there's multiple marriages everywhere. That's why the divorce rate's high. Because husbands don't love their wives, and wives don't love their husbands. And that's just the truth of the matter. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart. You've ravished me. You have torn me up.
Yeah.
You have torn me up, girl. You have torn me up. You've ravished my heart. I remember what you've done to my heart. I've been messed up ever since. Thou hast ravished my heart. But remember last week when we said how we're supposed to love our neighbor and love one another and love the enemy and everybody? Look here what he calls her. My sister, my spouse. A lot of us men will love the other ladies and speak to them a whole lot nicer than we speak to our wife. We'll respect other people in the church more than we respect our wife. And if you do that, you're not right with God.
Amen.
She's my sister and my spouse. She's supposed to be higher than everything. Huh? We're going to have to get shut of this talking down to women. Belittling women. Being mean to women. If we want to see God move and want to see the power of God in our life, we're going to have to straighten up and be men. Men, not cowards, but men. That love our wife and not ashamed of it. Huh? I'm going to love mine. Keep anybody else loving her. I'm going to hold her hand. You know why I hold her hand? I hold her hand because I like to hold her hand. Then I keep somebody else from holding. Huh? You young fellas, listen to me. The old ones are done wasted. They're not going to listen to nothing. They're going to say they're too old to change. I'm not going to listen to all this. I've heard that before. But you young ones, listen to me. You got them beautiful girls. Huh? You can look at them girls. You also especially can look at them girls and just what I read off there. How their teeth are even and beautiful and white and everything. I mean, they're... Huh? We can preach the Bible, okay? I'm preaching the Word of God. Am I preaching the Word of God, yes or no?
Yes.
Maybe you'd rather me preach about the Bible. See, if I preach about the Bible, it'll be easier. Because if I preach the Bible, it gets tight. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. Man, you just... Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We okay? With one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my boy, there's a lot in there about me loving her because she's my sister and my spouse, and we're not talking about inbred here. We're not talking about really marrying your sister. I know we're in West Virginia, but we're not talking about marrying your sister. All's relative in West Virginia. How fair is thy love? Now, we ain't forgot where we at, have we, fellas? This is how the husband is looking at his wife. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine and the smell of thy ointments than all spices? Song of Solomon 4:12 says, A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Song of Solomon 5:1, I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. Man, it's in there an awful lot, ain't it? It's in there an awful lot because she's my sister. Y'all understand, me and Cheryl went to church together. Now, everybody probably, I know, didn't do this, but me and Cheryl went to church together before we got married. I was a Christian, she was a Christian. That's one of the reasons we got married, because we were both Christians. Because that's who's supposed to get married, is two Christians. Go ahead and say that again. Two Christians is who's supposed to get married. A Christian man, a Christian woman. They're supposed to be Christians before they get married. Now, if they're not Christians before they get married, then, well, I don't know what to tell you. Okay? But you ain't supposed to marry somebody that ain't a Christian and use the lie of Satan and say, well, I'm going to do that to win them to the Lord. That is a lie from hell. It may happen, but it's a lie from hell. All right? That Christians are supposed to marry, not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's what the Bible said. Okay? Now, I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. Now, let me go back again. I didn't finish. Me and Cheryl were brothers and sisters. We were brothers and sisters for, let's see, you was 8. Wasn't you 8 when you got saved? 7, all right, nice 10. All right, so 10, 8. So we were brothers and sisters for 8 years. Then we got married. So I can call you my sister, my spouse. You can call me my brother, my spouse. All right? We went to church together. We got married in the church that we went to church at. I ended up going and pastoring the church that we went to. But nevertheless, we've been together. Said, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. Verse 2 says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. Because of my love for her, look at what she hollers. Because of how I show her my love, it says, oh, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. He's hollering for her. He's wanting her. The voice of my beloved it knocks. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. That's what you know. We didn't look. They're both messed up. Everybody with me? So far, the wife and the husband both messed up. Can I say, I just don't see a lot of that in the church. I see a lot of messed up, yeah. Are we okay? Y'all got me turned on. Darcy, my microphone on. Proverbs 18 verse 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." See, a wife is a good thing. Hey, wife, y'all's a good thing.
Amen.
Any of you wives want to just say amen right there?
Amen.
We're a good thing. Come on, some of you, holler. Holler loud.
Amen.
Huh? Man. It's hilarious. Wonderful to have. See, the object of our love, she's wonderful. She's wonderful to have. I don't know about you fellas. Mine's wonderful to have. If y'all ain't, I'm sorry. Y'all shouldn't have got married. If your wife ain't wonderful, you shouldn't have got married. You should have just stayed single. Went and lived in a monastery somewhere, shaved your head, put on a robe. Huh? My wife's wonderful. She's wonderful to look at. I have no problem looking at her. I tell her every day how pretty she is. Every day. Not some days, every day. Every day. Every day. Wonderful to be with. Huh? See, there's a lot of husbands don't want to be with their wives. Then why did you get married? I can't stand to go home. I can't. You should not have got married. There's a problem. It ain't with her, it's with you. Wonderful how they make us feel. I'm still messed up. 43 years this year, I'm still messed up. Married 43 years this year, and I'm still messed up. Huh? I'm not ashamed of it, neither. I'm not ashamed of it, neither. Are you ashamed of it? Huh? Well, I've stayed with her this long, might as well go ahead and die with her. No! No! No, that's not the same. That's not the same. Huh? Just humor me. Does any other man feel like this?
Amen.
There's three, four, five, six. Now there's six. What's wrong with you guys? It ain't no wonder we're dead. It ain't no wonder there's no power of God. It ain't no wonder there's no stir of the Holy Ghost if our hearts are that hard toward our spouse. Then you don't love me, and you don't love your neighbor, and you don't love God. Let me say that again. You don't love your neighbor, you don't love me, you don't love God if you're not loving your wife. Huh? Let me go further. If you don't love your wife, you're sorry and doless and no account and worthless. You're filled with sin. You're filled with iniquity. The lawlessness of God is in your heart.
Amen.
If you don't love your wife. Repent. Your prayers are hindered. Repent. For you're a stumbling block to the unsaved. Repent. For your children will follow you and be damned in damnation if you're not careful. Repent. That's truth.
Yes.
That's truth. Husbands or husbands to be, let's look at the next object of our love, in that they are weaker. They're wonderful and they're weaker. Huh? 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." We always want to throw up the wife as the weaker vessel. Well, that don't necessarily mean physically. And it don't necessarily mean mentally. It might be that she's just more precious. Now, we all know that on the average, that a man's bigger than a woman. There's exceptions to every rule. All right, in that respect. There are some women bigger than men. In fact, I've seen some little guys and big women that was married. That's okay. But that, we're not talking about just that, though, this morning. All right? A weaker vessel, a vase that holds water, a beautiful china porcelain vase, or a bucket. All right? Or a metal bucket. They both hold water. But which one is weaker? Which one's weaker? The porcelain china bucket. But does that mean that it's worthless? No. Actually, it's worth more. It's worth more than an old tin bucket. Our wives ain't an old tin bucket. Huh? They're worth something. And we're to honor them. The weaker means more delicate and fragile and precious, worth a lot. Huh? She's made for caring and nurturing and mothering and beauty and cuddling. Hey, your wife's made for cuddling, guys. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Your wife's made for cuddling. I'm shocked that counseling... Maybe if I didn't have tough love, it'd be more counseling, you reckon? Huh? Do y'all not cuddle no more? I don't even know where to go. I don't even know where I need to stop here and just quit. Huh? She's made for caring. For nurturing. For mothering, beauty, cut. Listen, guys, you didn't look for the ugliest girl in the schoolhouse to go get married to. You looked for the one that you thought was the prettiest. Didn't he? I did. That's the one that caught my eye. Huh? A woman is not made, generally speaking, to cut timber, though may some do. Huh? Not made to work inside the coal mine, though some do. That ain't what they're made for. Alright? They're generally smaller, they're more emotional. Huh? Yet when they bear children, through intense pain, they suffer without a word, and they're tougher than any man because a man goes to pieces when he gets a cold. And a woman has a baby. I always think of what Ralph Sexton Jr. was talking about, or Ralph Sexton Sr. was talking about his mother, Ralph Sexton Sr. And he said, I was born at... since I'm early in the morning, he said, and mommy canned blackberries that evening. I don't know about y'all, that's pretty tough. Now this was back before, this is, he born at home, you understand. Born in the morning, and canned berries on that evening. So when we say weaker, we're not talking about the strength level here. We understand because they're tougher than we are. Huh? They're tougher than we are. They're generally smaller, more emotional, yet bear children through intense pain, suffer without a word. But God made them different to help us. Huh? To help us, but not to take our place. We still okay? Now we're to love them like Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Man, what kind of love is it, huh? See, y'all thought we was done. We just read a little scripture. Y'all thought we was done. We're to love them unconditionally. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife unconditionally. That means she has to do nothing to merit it. Nothing. No matter whether she's right or wrong, good or bad, stink or smell good. You're supposed to love your wife unconditional. Unconditional. Will she make mistakes? Every one of them do. They're just like us. And we're supposed to love our wife unconditionally. That means, years ago, I had some of these things I kept a long time ago, and I don't know where it's at, but I remember one of the kids was talking to one of the daddies and said, "Daddy, do you like burnt toast?" And he said, "No." Said, "Well, I noticed that several mornings mommy fixed you burnt toast and you eat it." He said, "Yes, I did." Said, "But you didn't complain." He said, "No." "Well, I didn't think you liked burnt toast." He said, "I don't like burnt toast, but I love your mother." And I'm sure there was something else on her mind or something was going wrong. That's why she served me burnt toast. So I ate the burnt toast because I love her, not because I like burnt toast. Everybody get that? I'm afraid sometimes we throw a fit over the burnt toast. Maybe it's because the toaster didn't work where you didn't fix it. Maybe that was on the honey-do list and we didn't get it done. Huh? Unconditional. The love of the Lord for the church is patient. Are you patient with your wife? Well, she always knows I'm in her. I didn't ask that. I asked her, are you patient with your wife? Do you give her lead way? Let me ask you this. Does the Lord love you unconditionally? Let's start back there. Does he just only love you when you act a certain way? Or is he patient with you? I mean, he's been waiting on us a long time to do a lot of stuff. Is he patient? Does he ever come in and slam a door and throw a fit? Where are you at? What are you doing? Well, you may go in. There may be five outfits laying on the bed. And none of them was, and what she had on was not what she had on when you saw her a while ago. Well, maybe she didn't feel good about herself. Maybe she was trying to look good for you. Maybe she was trying just to please you, and she was took a little extra time, and she wasn't worried about the clock as much as she was worried about making you look good when you're together. But we're not patient. We're not. Because we love ourselves more. Are we kind? Is the Lord kind to us or is he mean? Is he mean-spirited? I've never read where the Lord was mean-spirited. I've read where they said never a man spoke like this man. I read where the sinners wanted to come and sit with him and listen to him teach. I've read where even the adulterous women would come to him and listen to him because even when he wrote on the ground or at the well, you know, because he wasn't demeaning. He never backed up on the truth, but he wasn't demeaning about it. I'm asking you today, we're preaching on husband loving their wives. The reason that we're doing that is because I'm wanting to see power in the church and I'm wanting to see sinners saved and I believe there's something stumbling in our church and I believe I figured out what it is. When I started preaching on love, that's a problem because it ain't happening. But what scares me is there's no repentance because it ain't changing. After 8 weeks, it ought to change. Do we love them unconditionally, patient? Are we patient? Are we kind? Are we forgiving? We know maybe they've done something. Maybe they've done something, the worst thing they could ever do. Well, what have we done to the Lord? I know there's adulteries with husband and wives. I know that. There's no secrets. We know these things. And yet, wives are bitter to her husband. Husbands are bitter to wives. But yet we commit adultery every day with the Lord. And act like it's nothing. Act like it's nothing. We fool around on the Lord all the time. And act like it's nothing. And yet we want to hold something against our wife. Or our wife against her husband. Let me ask you, men, you ever look at pornography? You committed adultery on your wife. Did you ever go to the beach and Google-eyed about the girls that's wearing the thongs and everything down the beach? You committed adultery with your wife. That's what the Bible says. Then you won't forgive your wife, maybe, because maybe she messed up. Well, I was going to tell you this. If you ain't loving her more than it appears you're loving her today, I understand why she missed it. Because if you don't love them, somebody will. We still okay? I'm not backing up off none of this. I'm not quitting because it's tight and... And I'm not going to say it's okay. Listen, it's one of the things. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable, guys. Is our love tender? Is the Lord tender? Now, I know we're made different. I know that. I know that we're made harsh. We're made as protectors. I know that. I know that. God made us to where, that's why the kids go to mommy when they're hurt. They don't come to daddy. He goes, you'll be all right. Rub some dirt in. You'll be all right. I mean, I've always said that. You know, you got a cold? Go plant some horse manure. You won't get a cold. But I believe that. You know, don't eat something without washing your hands. It ain't going to hurt you. And you won't get, your immune system will build up a little bit. I mean, I believe that. All right? That's why the kids don't come to me. They come to... And mommy said, bless your heart. Bless your heart. And you gotta press your heart on their leg to make it red so you'll have something to look at it. But men are not made like that. But we're supposed to be toward our wife. Because we're supposed to love as Christ loved the church. Now, even though we're made different, there's a stop there, and he says, love them like Christ loved the church, because there's some times in the month that they're more, need more love, and need more patience. We okay?
Yes,
listen, we're... You know, there's sometimes their feelings are hurt. Yeah, we get mad when they have to have surgery and have a hot flash because it inconveniences us. That's how selfish we are. That we'll complain, you're freezing me to death. But they can't help it. It's true, ain't it?
Yes,
see, sometimes they need tender. You know, tender for me, that's like a donkey in a tin barn for me, kicking around, me being tender. Can y'all think me being tender? It just don't match, does it? Huh? Sometimes all Cheryl needs is a hug. Sometimes all she needs is me to hold her hand. Sometimes she don't need me to say nothing. Just be there. Not, oh, suck it up. You'll be all right. Huh. Sometimes she needs me to be tender. See, if the truth be known, men, there's sometimes we like to be tender, but we're too proud to be. Selfless. Do we love them like the Lord loves us? And I believe the Bible says that husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Are we selfless? Huh? Let me tell you what we do. I'm going to tell you what we do. Honey, here's a list. There's some things I've been thinking about. You know, we need to get done here at the house. Okay, I'll get them. I'll get them. I'll get them. Where are you going? Well, I'm going hunting. Okay. The next weekend comes down. Honey, here's that list. You know, when he gets done. Well, I'll get it. I'll get it. Where are you going now? Oh, I mean, the guys are going. We're going to go out. Yeah. Honey, what? This is broken. This is broken. You go in and try to find toilet paper, and there it is in the cabinet. And why is the toilet paper wet? Well, because you didn't fix that drain. It's been leaking for 3 weeks, and I didn't have nowhere to put the toilet paper. It's wet. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, what are you going to do? Oh, I thought I'd go trout fishing. That's not selfless. That's selfish. But that's what they got to live in. They've got to live in the cabinets with no handles, or the handle that's broke, or the slide that's broke, or the roof that leaks. Well, it don't leak unless it's raining. Well, it's raining, they can't fix it. And then if it ain't raining, it ain't leaking.
Amen.
Eh? But they got to worry about it, because when it comes to my house, they're going to see a big yellow spot and they're going to wonder, oh, why is they feeling yellow? And then they're going to make her feel bad, because she's supposed to be the keeper of the home, and her home is supposed to be her castle, and she's supposed to be the queen, and we're supposed to be doing her like that, but we don't, because we're selfish. And we don't have a home. What we have is we got a hired hand that we don't love like Christ loved the church. And we get upset when it don't go our way. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love's unconditional. 1 John 4:8 says, there's no fear in love. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How many homes, if I could get the women to be honest, how many has fear at home? Fear because of how your husband's going to react, because they got uncontrolled temper, because they're not right with God. It ain't because they were made that way, because they're not right with God. But you can't speak because you're scared, you're intimidated. But there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. There's fear down at the house, guys. If you've intimidated your wife to where there's fear because you're controlled, you don't control nothing. You are a coward. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. You're a coward if you abuse your wife in that way. Huh? And any man that'll abuse his wife verbally or with his hand, he took out and beat with a ball bat. I'll tell you something I happened one time in a counseling. Y'all like the way I counsel. Let me tell you how I counseled one time. Husband and wife come and they said, we're having problems. I said, well, I'll be glad I married him. And they said they'd come to me if they had problems. So they sit in there and said, well, what's the problem? Well, he's abusing me. I said, what's he doing? Well, he hits me and he kicks me and does this, bruises me. And I said, really? She said, yeah, well, he's sitting right there. I said, is that true? He said, yeah. Well, I said, well, I know how to fix that problem. He said, you do? He's right goofy. He said, how do you fix the problem? I said, go home tonight and go to bed like nothing happened. Just don't act like nothing's going on. Okay. Now I said, now when he goes to bed, I said, you go in there and get them big orange skillets. And you slip in there while he's asleep. And the first thing you do is crack it right on his ankle bone. And then you beat his knees and his elbows. I said, don't hit him in the face because they'll go take you to jail. But you break his ankles and his knees and his elbows and he won't smack you ever again. Now that was my counseling. You know what he said? That'd probably work. I mean, dumb as a rock. I'm sorry. They didn't last. I just want you to know that marriage didn't last. I'm not being funny. I've really done that. It really happened. That really happened. And then I went on to tell him, I said, if you was my son-in-law, I said, I would beat you within an inch of your life for beating on my daughter. There's no fear in love. But perfect fear casteth out all fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men. Apt to teach, patient. Huh? Now I'm giving you scripture for that list of things I just told you. We feel okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I'm supposed to be patient to you and not my wife? No, no, no. She's my sister. I'm supposed to be patient toward her just like I am you. Colossians 3:12-15. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Huh? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's what the Bible talking about, us and one another and us and Christ in the church. But we leave our spouse out. We leave our wife out. Listen, I do love y'all. I'm trying my best to love you more. I am. But I don't love you like I do Cheryl. I love her as a sister-in-law, but I love her higher than that. But my baseline's as a sister-in-law. Ephesians 4:23-32, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. If I'm going to do that with my neighbor, shouldn't I be honest with my wife? Yes, talk to me, guys. If you're supposed to be honest with me, you're honest with God. Are you supposed to be honest with your wife? Are ye? Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. That means you don't go to bed mad. You don't go to bed with your pout on, like a little kid. Huh? You don't run to another bedroom. You don't go sleep in another bed. You don't go to the couch. You don't go to your chair. You make things right and sleep in the same bed, cuddling. Because they're cuddly. They are. They're cuddly. You ought to go home, take your nap, and cuddle. Be in a better spirit when you get to church tonight. Huh? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I'm afraid that our speech needs to be cleaned up down at the house.
That's right.
Yes.
These little four-letter slangs ain't okay. These talking downs ain't okay. And they're not slips, because I ain't never heard none of you testify and use it.
You're right.
So it ain't a habit. Your dirty mouth ain't a habit. It's because you're filthy inside.
Amen.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now that's scripture forever, all the list I just gave you a while ago. We okay? Forgiveness does not require penance. Men, hear me. Forgiveness does not require penance.
That's right.
Amen.
We'll forgive our wife if they'll do certain things. Everything will be okay. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Provisions does not require obedience. I'll buy you that if you'll do this. No. Man that don't provide for his house is worse than infidel.
Amen.
Support does not require agreement. If I support her, don't mean I have to agree with her. Or vice versa. But I am supposed to support. Love does not require return. I told you, I probably told y'all before, I told Cheryl I love her. When she loves me or not, that's her choice. She can leave me anytime she wants to, but when she does, I'm going with her. She wants to leave me, she can. You think I'm kidding? You don't think I wouldn't just pack up and get right in the car with her? She can drive if she wants to. She leave me, I'm going with her, wherever she goes. If there's somebody else involved with it, it's going to be a bunch of us. It'll be three of us, I reckon. Huh? We're going together. I ain't leaving her. I'm serious. Lord, I ain't no way I can find another one. Huh? Found a good thing when I found her. Huh? Love our wives as we love ourselves. Wait a minute. You ain't done. No, I ain't done yet. I'm just now preaching about loving like Christ loves. How about we just sacrifice, we sacrifice to please ourselves. How about we just do the same for them? Do you sacrifice for your wife? Do you? Husband, love your wives. Cheryl, I ain't go to piano.